to really keep your focus on health or you will lose it. You'll lose the miracle that God just gave you.
That's right. And I believe that God has ordained from the very beginning that His children should be well and healthy. Because, Darren, when something happens in our bodies, we cannot concentrate on anything around us when our body is hurting or when we're in pain. And I believe God's ultimate realization for His children was to be healthy in spirit, soul, and body.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I believe that we're talking here also in a comparison, if you look at it, we look at divine healing when you get sick. You need divine healing, but you need divine health to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they really operate on the same premise, but it's a dogfight when you first start into the healing ideas. I'll say it that way. I started to say healing business, but it's serious business. You know, you really have to focus on the fact that you're going to fight moment one when something attacks your body. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to rise up against this thing because I've been healed. I'm going to stay healed. And the way you stay healed is to not put up with one tiny little symptom. I mean, you jump on that thing with a ferocious nature and you make a declaration, this will not come in my body. It can't stay in my body. My body's temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to put up with sickness.
That's right. I was talking to our daughter, Dana, and she was saying, Mom, could you maybe write down on a sheet of paper those vitamins and minerals that you take, and now that you're older, what you do take, the supplements you do take to keep you healthy and strong? She says, because I have a feeling I'm a lot like you, and as I grow older, I wanna know what keeps you healthy. And we were talking about the Lord and also talking about nutrition. And I told her, Darren, that every morning when I wake up, it isn't an achy sensation when I get up out of bed. There's never a pain or an ache. And I praise God. It is the Lord God, Darren, that has given us such great health. I think of that verse in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite in the Old Testament. And it was the priest's blessing for the people. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Now, when we wake up during the day or in the morning, if we knew without a shadow of a doubt that God's face was shining upon us, wouldn't that bless us? It certainly would.
Well, I would put that along with the scriptures. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein.
Yes, yes.
Now, I go over, Barbara, often to Proverbs 30, verse 5, and it says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. I believe that we have to hang in there. We have to know that we're not testing. You know, this isn't we're not test pilots. I'll say it that way. Mm-hmm. We're not guinea pigs here. It's already been tested. It's already been proven. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. In other words, over thousands of years, God has tested the Word. I mean, we could say it that way, and it's not going to fail. And, folks, one thing you've got to get out of your consciousness is that you're not unique. Some people say, well, my body is so unique, and I've got this rare disease, or I always come down with this or that or the other thing. Well, no, folks, I'm sorry, because we're all treated equal in the healing community, and we really need to know that the Word of God is tested, and it's stronger than whatever's attacked your body.
So you're saying that as we read the Word and we apply it to our daily life, that Word is going to work in our daily life because it's been tested and it's been proven. And say, for instance, we take Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. And that law does not mean the law that was given to Moses in the Ten Commandments. That's in that, but it's the Word. It means the Word of God as we meditate on it. And the second part of that Psalm 1 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in their season. His leaf also shall not wither.
That means he's not going
to get old and die from sickness. And whatsoever whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
All right, now,
hey, that's what God wants for us.
When you say whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, that means if you speak the Word of God, it's going to prosper in your body.
That's right.
Now, here's another reason why it's going to prosper in your body. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active. And I like to focus on that part right there. It is alive, it's active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you let the Word of God, it will judge you, and it will show you where you're off track. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you have compromised your confession. You say, well, I get healed most of the time. Well, no, you ought to make a real solid confession there. And let me tell you, when you start right with your mouth, your heart will line up with the Word of God.
That's right.
And you can become a person that's internally directed, inner directed, not outer directed. And so we have a lot of friends that are still outer directed. They get any little symptom, and all of a sudden that becomes their identity. Mm-hmm. And then they've lost their healing, they've lost their walk in divine health, and they're miserable. You don't have to live like that.
Well, haven't you, as you've been sitting with relatives, haven't you noticed that their conversation, if it gets to Uncle John or Aunt Mary, that Aunt Mary, you know, she's the one that has arthritis. Or Uncle John, you know, he's the one that's got diabetes. They had to take his foot off last year, and only the Lord knows what's going to happen this next time. That is how they identify that person through the sickness. And we need to forsake that. We really do in the body of Jesus Christ. Well, you know that little girl, she's the one that was paralyzed. We need to identify people in the body of Jesus Christ with something other than what has happened to their bodies.
Well, here's a comparison that I love to make. I consider the power of God to heal me compared to the weakness of AIDS or cancer or flu or something else to make me sick. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, there is no contest. Once we throw in with God, let me say it that way, and we begin to affirm, like Mark 10:27, I love so much, with men it's impossible. Well, certainly it's impossible. Anything that's man-made, contrived, an idea or even a medicine or a procedure, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. So I put it this way. If you consider the power of God to heal you compared to the weakness, get this, the weakness of AIDS or cancer or flu symptoms or MS or whatever it is that's trying to make you sick, there's no contest.
That's right, because God's word brings strength. These other diseases and illnesses, Darren, they bring weakness to the body so that we cannot perform the way God wants us to perform as a godly individual. And that scripture is so good, and I'm so glad we can be strong in the Lord compared to the weakness of disease and illness. In Deuteronomy 30, God has given us a kind of a choice here, and he says, "This commandment I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach or far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven and get it for us? And it's not beyond the sea that you should say, well, let's cross the sea and go get it." And Darren, you know, we have a lot of people, a lot of wannabes and looky-loos that are going hither, thither, and yon all over the world trying to find this something to make them feel good.
It want a magic potion.
That's right. And boy, they're going to travel all over the world to get it. Well, God says, it's there. You don't have to go across the sea, and you don't have to go far off, but it's very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. And you know what that is? It's the Word of God. And he says, "I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you to love your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes, that you may live." See, that's a quality of life there. That's a wholeness. That's a wonderful way of living. "And multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess." That word is near us, Darren. It's near us in our mouth and in our heart if
right.
we want
now,
it.
Now, if it's in our mouth, we should be eating it. And Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone,"
yes.
or hamburgers, or pasta, or you know, pizza.
Yes.
What he's really saying is, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, in this particular message, we want to get you to focus on the Word, to address the Word. In other words, you should come to the Bible and pick it up and say, "This is God's Word to me. This is God's Word, and it works. This is God's Word, and it has never failed. It's proven and tried and tested. It's never, never failed. It's alive. It's active. This Word here will get me healed, keep me healed, and I can walk in divine health. If I have something attack me, I can go for divine healing and step right back over and walk in divine health."
Yes.
Now, that to me, folks, is the only way to go. Barbara and I live that way because we have a revelation of the Word. because we put the word above the pills, the pharmacy. We put it above the doctor in the emergency room in the hospital. And there's occasionally something comes against us. And if we didn't have the background we have in the word, well, yeah, we'd run to the emergency deal. We'd be on the phone calling the doctor and say, I got a pain in my head or a pain in my back or whatever. But we've learned to defeat that with the word of God, so we don't have to spend that time and that money.
That's right.
Going over there to a lesser kingdom. The kingdom of God rules at our house. Let me say it that way. Mm-hmm. And we want the same for you guys. We're not saying we're hot dogs. We're saying we have learned this at great price, at great cost. But it's worth it. It's worth it to not... And see, I never think in my daytime, or so to speak, or in my schedule, I don't think, well, this year I wonder how many days I'll have for sick leave. I never even think of that. And the people that say that around me, it's a shock to me. It's foreign to me. I don't cut out days to be sick, and you know that. We've been married 10 years, we don't think that way. Mm-hmm. Now, I will cut out some days to go have some rest or get out of town and go stay a couple of days on the road and come back. But that's rest and recreation, and you got to have that R&R.
That's
not sick days.
That's right. The Lord himself wants us to choose life, Darren. He really does. He created us so that we could be well, that we could be whole, that we could live a high quality of life here on the earth. And you say, well, why didn't he just give us all health in the first place? Because Satan entered in through the sin in the Garden of Eden. And from that time on, sickness entered into the world. But that was not meant to be from the very beginning.
But you know, this matter of health, Barbara, is so personal because it involves our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the embodiment of our walk with God, you talk about the faith walk, you've got to understand the faith walk if you're going to be healed. You've got to trust God and trust the Word if you're going to be healed. Because, yes, in this world, there are a lot of germs out there. There are a lot of all kinds of things that want to come against you and attack your body. Mm-hmm. And one thing you have to get straight is who is behind disease? It's Satan.
That's right.
Who is behind health? God. And God doesn't want you sick. In fact, I was meditating last night thinking about this message we're going to deliver today. You know, if sickness was God's will, he would have put it on the disciples, you know, every once in a while, just to show that he could heal them.
Well, sickness, though, comes from the Latin word malady.
Right.
Malady comes from, well, it comes from the word malady, and the Latin root of that is mal. Now, mal, it means evil, and there is no evil in God. God is good. God is love. And so we know that malady, mal, evil, that sickness and disease came from the evil one, and that is Satan. And, you know, all through the scriptures, God is saying, oh, satisfy us with thy loving kindness. And so many people say, well, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and maybe this is my time. And I say, you know, 35 or 40, is that your time? Or we know a lot of people that died too young. And in Psalm 90:10, it says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, and if due to strength, 80 years. And this is what we're saying. The average length of a human being should be a good full 80 years of life. That's what Psalm 90:10 says. And it says, oh, satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. God wants us to live a fulfilled life all of our days in health and happiness.
Now, let me give the scripture again in Romans 10:8. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we're preaching, that if you confess. Now, I believe, Barb, we have to go back to that. If we're going to maintain what you're talking about here, mm-hmm. you still have to go back to the very basics. What you speak out of your mouth, you're going to have. And your mouth is the biggest evidence of where you're going to walk in divine health, divine prosperity, and so on. But you've got to watch your words, and you have to put the word of God in your heart so that it comes out of your mouth right.
Well, that's right. And you were talking about Romans 10:8, and that whole verse hinges on word of faith.
Right.
And if we live by faith, we're going to say things like in Romans 4:17 that says, that thing which is not as though it were. And Darren, I believe that when we do get aches and pains, we can go right away and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or I am like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And my leaf is not going to wither. I'm not going to get sick and die. Or I can say Psalm 103, The wonderful one that David wrote, and he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And he goes down to say, "Who heals all my diseases," all of them, Darren. We can go from scripture to scripture and make our body healthy.
But now let's put it in a very practical sense. It also says he sent his word and healed them. All right, now, let's just suppose that a headache hits you. You get up in the morning for some reason, your head feels stuffy, and you've got a headache. All right, now here's the challenge, folks. Here's where you can exercise your faith or you can exercise the medicine cabinet. I mean, here it is. It's a little simple test for you. And you say, well, I would rather go and get one of those painkillers and pop a couple of those in 4 or 5 minutes, I'm okay. Well, that's one choice. Now, to me, that's a lesser choice than saying, Father God, the word says, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And right now it appears that I'm sick or that I've got something tormenting. I'm going to put my hand on my head here and believe you and believe the power of your word to take this headache away. I don't even care how it got there, Lord, but I want it out of my head. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, because I do choose life. I choose prosperity. I choose health. I choose divine health. And see, the Lord said, choose you this day who you will serve. And he also said, I've set before you, so choose life. See, God has made us with a free will. Darren, he's made all of us with a free will. And you say, well, why has he done that? Because the angels worship him conditionally. They worship him because they were created to worship him. But we were created to make a decision, to make a humongous decision. And as that is to either worship God or serve the kingdom of darkness. And God wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose life.
Okay, but let's go back to this illustration I'm giving here. That pain comes in your head, and I believe that happens to everybody.
Oh,
I do too. Pain comes in your head. Let's use that as an example. All right, now the word here is saying choose life. Well, I believe it's a higher choice and a better choice to practice on. You know, a headache's not going to kill you. All right, you might think it is. Particularly if it escalates to a migraine, you think, man, I'd rather die than have this thing. And you'll hear people say, boy, if I could cut off my head, I'd be fine. Well, why don't we go to the Word of God and start confessing Scripture and learn? See, your body is a rebel, Father. I mean, folks, I got to tell you, the Father God wants you to learn how to bring your body into subjection to the Word. Now, when you first start doing this, it's not going to work right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to build unbelief in your heart, but I can tell you that practicing this for several years, I can get rid of a headache in 2 or 3 seconds. Didn't used to be that way. Mm-hmm. But my body has had to learn to comply to say, now the boss here, the inner man of the heart, is going to run the show. And I'm going to have to bow to the Word of God because that's the way he's going to run that's the way he's running his life here.
That's right.
And so that headache's got to get out of here.
That's right. We've noticed in our Tuesday night meeting, those of you who are constant in coming Tuesday nights, those of you who've been attending for 2 or 3 years, Darren and I see that your health has become so much better. And I hope that you see that your quality of life has become better. And for instance, on your envelopes that we ask you to fill out on Tuesday nights with either your prayer requests or your challenges or your praise reports, we have so many people now that are putting verses down. And oh, I love that. We love that so much. And one of the verses that I'd like to quote here is from our friend Eugene. And he put on his envelope, he wants to feel like he did in 1981. Well, we all want to feel like we did when we were younger. And I believe we can achieve that through the Word of God and through prayer. I truly believe that. I believe we can be like Moses. He went up to be with the Lord, up to the mountain to die, but he was not in lack in anything in his body. In fact, his eyesight was like it was when he was 40. So I believe that is possible for us today. I truly do. Well, here Eugene had this wonderful quote from Psalm 92:12, and it says, "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon." And, oh, I've heard the cedars in Lebanon are just huge. They're kind of like the redwoods in California. "Planted in the house of the Lord." Now, see, these cedars in Lebanon were brought down from Lebanon, and they were used to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. So we know that this psalm is talking about that. and it will flourish in the courts of our God. That same wood is going to be used in worship and praise for the Lord our God in the temple. They will still yield fruit in old age. This is the righteous man. They shall be full of sap and very green. Wow, that's wonderful. We were listening to a tape the other night where a former physician who is now a nutritionist and extremely popular saying, eat green. And if you eat green, you will be healthy. Well, it says here, right here in Psalm 92:12, hey, they knew all about nutrition before we did. It says, and you will be full of sap and very green. Praise God. You will be healthy in bone and in muscle and in tendon and in nerves and in every part of your body. So you will be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hey, if you're in a situation where there's an unrighteousness all around you, you can say verses like Psalm 92:12. God is my rock. He's my stable one. He's the one I can hold on to. And there's no unrighteousness in him. So let's look to him.
You know, Barb, that's very, very good what you're saying.
Praise God.
And I'll tell you, along with this, what we need to do is when we have a great day and we have no pains and no aches, we need to praise God for marvelous health.
That's right.
You know, we frequently do that. And folks, we're not trying to hold ourselves out here as hot dogs. We're just telling you what works.
Well,
and we can tell you what doesn't work.
That's right. It's like when I get a pain, I don't go to the, you're absolutely right, Darren, I don't go to the medicine cabinet. I ask you to pray for me now. I've learned over the years, and it's been a gradual process here. Darren's prayers are effective. You know, those painkillers, they not only cost money, but sometimes it takes a little time. But when you lay your hands on me, almost immediately, the pain goes or I feel better.
Well, to me, it's allowing rebellion in your body if you allow
it's
that sickness to go on.
Rebellion in my body.
You know,
When
we first got married, and I know some have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it. I remember you came in the bathroom there. We had a double sink in the bathroom, and you came in and you said, it was in the fall of the year, oh, I always get this time of year. And something just came up out of me. I just said, I mean, it just caused some minor violence.
Minor violence.
I turned around, I grabbed you by the shoulders, and I looked right in your eyes, and I said, I don't allow that in my house. Mm-hmm. And you had this funny look, in fact, a little fear in your eyes. I said, no, the new deal here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you operated in your first marriage, but here's the way it's going to be in this house. We do not allow this, and we treat it as rebellion. We're going to get it, and I prayed for you. And you don't have that in the fall of the year, do you?
No. And
now, that's not a put-down for you, Barbara.
No,
it's just something that you'd gotten into by habit, and you put up with that in the fall of the year. And folks, I'm telling you, if you treat allergies this way, you treat all these symptoms this way, you can walk in marvelous health, and that's what we want for you.
And there is a real difference there. For 25 to 30 years before, I had been spirit-filled, Darren. I had lived with a man who was very godly. My first husband was a very godly man. He would learn chapters
Absolutely.
By memory. But we did not apply it in a practical way and a daily way
for health.
in our house for health. And, yeah, we did go to the doctors. And I have learned since living with you and growing well with you and older with you, but healthier with you, that the word spoken is what is going to make us whole. The word logos is wonderful, but Darren, if it just stays there in the book and it's logos and we never speak it forth, it is not going to do us any good.
We have to cast down every evil imagination. Now let me tell you, the devil will come to the battlefield of your mind and you get a headache and say, oh, you probably have brain cancer. I mean, he still tries that on me. I cannot believe how dumb he is to keep trying. Well, like I had a pain over here in the upper muscle of my arm. I should know what that's called, but it's an upper muscle, okay? Right below my shoulder. He still comes and says, you know, you might have bone cancer, or you might have this, you might have that. I'll tell you, I take him on moment one and say, you're out of here, you spirit of fear, and Satan, you're not going to sell me that scenario. I'm not going to buy that for a second. You're out of here, and Jesus is Lord, and my body is temple of the Holy Spirit, so get it straight.
That's right. When I have those thoughts, Darren, simple verses like, I have the mind of Christ, right, and I take everything captive to your mind, Jesus. I will not listen to the enemy. Saying that a few times, and it's gone. And I'm like you. After John died of cancer, that enemy came to me and said, you're going to have exactly what he had. And it took several of those affirmations. I have the mind of Christ. Devil, get away from me. I don't have cancer. I take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. And that's what you can do in a practical way every day.
Well, here it says in Ephesians, again, see, folks, we're going to the Word. In Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3:20 says, according to the power that works within you, we put a sufficient amount of the Word in us so we can fight the evil imaginations and all the stuff that comes.
That's right. At the end of this teaching, I want you to do some affirmations so we can follow along with you. That Ephesians 3:20, that's one that we should have in our hearts.
Well, here also, Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Folks, if we could get that straight, our struggle is against the forces of darkness. Wow. But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the day, in the evil day, having done everything to stand. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life, folks. And if you learn the Word, and if you speak the Word, and you say, now, when something attacks you, let's say you get up and you have an upset stomach, and you maybe have diarrhea, you got something else going on, okay? And you begin to say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit here. Now, if you can't whip it on your way to learn faith here, take your Pepto-Bismol. But what we're saying is make it a goal to say,
right,
the Word of God here is going to rule and reign in my life and in my territory here. I'm going to speak the Word of God in my house, in my car, in my office, wherever I am, in my yard, in my Winnebago, if you've got one. But you're going to establish your territory in righteousness covered by the blood of the Lamb Jesus, and you're not going to tolerate that stuff from the devil.
Right.
Now, when you make that decision, let me tell you, folks, a lot of people don't know this, but the devil can be convinced. You're going to have to hang in there and say, listen, devil, you come on my turf, you're going to pay, because I'm going to take not willpower. Now, get this, folks. Willpower does not work.
That's right.
It takes the Word of God to establish a lifetime of health and prosperity. You're going to have to walk in the Word, because just saying, well, I'm not going to give anymore. I'm getting better and better every day, blah, blah, blah. That's an empty affirmation, and it will not hold you during the tough times.
That's right. We have to hold on to something that's bigger than us, someone who's bigger than us. And in Isaiah, for instance, scriptures like Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31, verses in scripture here. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So when we look up to God as our source and say, Father God, I know you have the power, you have the strength, and I ask you to pour it into me. I believe that you, Father God, are going to feed me right now. It's like when Dan had experienced a diagnosis that part of his heart was dead. He and Gene went into an intense study on El Shaddai. And he comes to me every once in a while and says, why didn't you have El Shaddai in your power pack? Well, the next time we redo it, I'll have to put El Shaddai in there. But El Shaddai is our overall God Almighty. He's more than enough God. Oh, he is.
But he's a God of the impossible.
That's right. And when you look to that kind of creator God who gives you strength when you're weary and pours in that wonderful health of his word into your spirit, it's going to quicken you. It's going to quicken your mortal body, as Romans 8:11 says. Praise the Lord.
Now, one of the factors here I am going to have to share with you, and that's that when you start walking, really walking in divine health, and you get divine healing every time something attacks you, people around you that haven't yet learned to walk the faith walk, who would rather go take a pill or rather run to the doctor, may attack you. And because they don't want it to work for you because it's not working for them. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that, but some of your dearest friends and some of your closest family members They have been challenged, and they've just said, well, listen, I'm going to capitulate here, or I'm going to give in, I'm going to compromise. Now, they won't say it in so many words, but that's what doctors are for. And I've heard people say that in spirit-filled churches, in holiness churches. I've heard them say that. Well, what do you think doctors are for, dummy? When you get sick, you go to the doctor. Well, now, wait a minute. If you take a look really at some of the failures of operations and diagnosis, and sometimes they're wrong, and you know, sometimes they cut off the wrong leg, and I'm being kind of tough here when I say that, but I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather walk with a higher brand of HMO. My HMO is Jesus. My health maintenance organization is the Word of God, and it works for me, and it can work for you, and many people that accept this teaching get up and go on. And they live very, very healthy lives and a higher level of health. But sometimes you have to put up with some persecution from people around you. And folks, I don't know why it is in human nature, but it doesn't work for them, and they don't want it to work for you because it brings them under some kind of conviction. And that's really sad, Barb. Mm-hmm. But it happens.
It is. And one of the biggest hindrances is not just simply the doctors, but it's the insurance and benefits that we get through our jobs. And so the first thing, because we have insurance and benefits, we'll run to that HMO or that Kaiser Permanente or whoever. We have been listening to a teaching by a Dr. Lorraine Day, and she is a physician, and she's from San Francisco, very good reputation. She says things like mammograms that have been, doctors have been insisting that women have a mammogram a year to detect any kind of growth or malfunction in the breast. And she said now they are determining that the women that have had a mammogram every year have a higher incidence of cancer than those who didn't. So now the doctors are kind of softening on that, and they're saying, well, if you're over 55, have one once a year. Well, who do you believe here? The doctors are changing their minds all the time. They're double-minded in a lot of their research and in a lot of the information that you're hearing from them. Well, I listen to Dr. Jesus. We listen to God. We listen to His words. And we don't do what the doctors tell us. Not that we're rebellious or anything, but the Word of God is what keeps us.
Now, you know, Barbara, when something comes to our household, we immediately go to the Holy Spirit and we ask Him, now, what doorway did we leave open for this thing to be able to attack us? Mm-hmm. Because a curse causeless does not alight. In other words, there's a root cause for this. So I then immediately get into my spiritual closet and say, Lord, have I gotten into resentment? Have I gotten into unforgiveness, into bitterness, into pride? What's gone on here? Have I sinned in, or have I allowed something to go on in my life that would open a doorway here for Satan to come in and whack me? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. If we live holy lives, we stay in the Word of God, we're going to prevent those things. Because there's a reason why Satan can come legally and dump something in your driveway, so to speak.
That's right.
You need to go to the Lord and ask Him, am I in unforgiveness? Is there sin in my life? And see, unforgiveness, pride, arrogance, lying, you know, misrepresenting things, that's all sin. Well, that would open a doorway then for Satan to legally be able to come in and jump on you or on your children, your grandchildren, whatever. So then if there is something the Holy Spirit shows me, yes, Darren, you've been in unforgiveness, or you've been in a jealousy, or you've been in something, you know. And those things creep in so quickly.
They do.
I mean, they're so subtle. I get on my knees, at least in my spirit, and I humble my heart and say, Lord, I did sin. I am sorry. I did get bitter toward that person. Now, they said something to me, and my reaction was not right. It was absolutely not right. And, Lord, I got into resentment toward that person. Maybe I hated that person. And I ask your forgiveness, Jesus. I ask your forgiveness. Now I thank you that I can walk again in divine health. And Barbara, when you follow that procedure, you will see those things get out of your life. But folks, don't tolerate a little thing because it can become a big thing. And that's why I'm saying don't run to the medicine cabinet first. Run to Jesus. Learn to defeat these things when they're small, like a little pain in your head. And then you'll know how to walk and fight the fight of divine health here when something big comes against you.
That's right. Words are so important, Darren, very powerful. And life and death is in the power of the tongue, as we read in Proverbs. And so many households, they don't really feel an emergency to contact authorities or contact their pastor or for counseling until blows occur in the family, physical blows. And verbal abuse can be so damaging, words. And we see in Proverbs especially, and then I'm going to go to Colossians 2 and 1 Peter 3. It says in Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. Have you ever been in the atmosphere or in the presence of someone who is speaking so arrogantly and rashly, and they speak damaging words? They're gossiping, and it's like the sword going in. It's like actually a painful thing, a sword going into you.
Well, I worked for a man one time that was very caustic and very cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just crush me because I so much wanted to please him. I really loved this guy. Mm-hmm. And he happened to be in my church, and I worked for him. And I wanted to do a good job, and I wanted his acceptance. But there were times when he shredded me on the inside. Mm-hmm. And it was harsh words, and it was like a thrust of a sword that
Absolutely.
Went on to the innermost part of my being.
That's right. And Proverbs 15:4 says, a soothing or healing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it is the crushing of the spirit. Now, when we become rank and crude with our tongues, we give four-letter words and begin to curse and have absolute disruptions in the family life at home, then that becomes a perversion to every, not only yourself, but everyone around you within hearing distance.
I'm going to say this. Some of our friends and some that are listening to this message, Barbara, have been raised that way.
Yes.
They were raised by caustic parents that said things to you. You know, kid, you were so ugly. If you hadn't been so ugly, you could have given you away when you were born, but nobody wanted you.
Yes.
I've had adults tell me that they were raised that way. Or, hey, you dumb kid, pick up your feet. If you had a brain, it'd be lonesome.
Or we had a lady on Tuesday night that came up for prayer, said they had wanted a boy instead of a girl. So she came into the world being totally rejected because of the sex that she was. And then you gave a prayer over her for healing.
I've even seen in some cases where I'll use this as an example. They wanted a boy, but they ended up with a girl. So they called her Tommy, T-O-M-I,
So she had to live with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the story was told, well, my dad really wanted a boy, but I was the first one that came along when I was a girl. So his name was Tom, so he called me Tommy.
And that's when I believe it's okay, Darren, to change our names. When we get to the point where we know who we are in Christ Jesus, hey, I believe God gives you permission to change your name so you don't have that stipend on you all your life.
Here's what I'm going to say. Some of you have a difficult time maintaining your healing because of unworthiness. Maybe you were raised in unworthiness or criticism or a sharp tongue by a parent or a brother or a sister. What you need to maintain your physical healing is to have inner healing. Mm-hmm. You need to go to God and say, would you please heal my memories? Mm-hmm. Or have someone pray that for you.
Yes.
God, would you please heal my memories of all the put-downs and all the sarcasm? Oh, that word sarcasm, folks, I'm telling you. Some of you adults that are listening to this message here need to stop it. It's hard for kids. That sarcasm, they can't sort that out. They're too little. They can't sort that sarcasm and the double meanings and the innuendos and all this kind of stuff. You throw them a real curve, and you really upset their boundaries and their balance. I'm just saying, if you're doing that, repent of it. It's wrong, and you will hurt your child. But now, if you're the child that's grown up, and now you're the adult that's struggling with unworthiness, you say, why in the world would God want to heal poor old junkie me? I'm just a piece of trash. God didn't really love me, or he'd give me a better family. You know, the devil is so devious. You need to ask God to heal the memories, to take away maybe the looks from your parents' eyes, maybe the words from your mother or from your father that hurt you so deeply. Now, that's called inner healing. You say, well, why didn't that go away when I got saved? Well, we're talking about here an injury at the mental, emotional, spiritual level, and that's a healing that's just as great as a physical healing. But for some of you, you're not going to maintain your physical healing until you get healed on the inside, until that little boy or that little girl that's grown up is healed.
That's right. And that healing sometimes comes into our minds, our memories. That part may not be saved. God promised us a new heart and a new spirit, but sometimes those minds that are in the physical realm keep those old memories and those old habit patterns locked in there.
Yeah, now I would say it this way. I believe that in Romans 12:2 is so important. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you think naturally, automatically, subliminally, when you're asleep, when you're distracted and everything else. You need to think like God thinks, that you're okay and that He loves you.
That's right. Some of you have been raised by a father who exasperated you, and it says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children. This word exasperate is number 2042 in the Greek, and it says to cause strife and arguing and strong debate as it results in anger. Fathers, don't do this. Don't exasperate your children that they may lose heart. And some of our children have lost heart, Darren. They've lost a will to live. We have more suicides in our teenagers than ever before. They've lost the will to have goals in their lives, to look for better quality of life. They want to live in the gutter. So, Father, we're encouraging you, and we're challenging you, especially fathers, that when you come home from work, that you have a glad heart and you have
to edify your kids and your wife.
Absolutely. It also says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise live with your wives as an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, Darren, a lot of times we say, well, I'm not getting my prayers answered. Well, look into the small little things in your daily life. And those can be things that have opened the door to poor health, to curses, that kind of thing.
All right, now I'm going back to Romans 10:8. The word is very near you.
Near you, yes.
The word of faith. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, Jesus Christ is the high priest of your confession. What you confess, He takes to the Father. Now, as you begin to walk here in divine healing and divine health, you need to be speaking in total congruence with what God says. God is speaking healing to you. Jesus healed everyone who ever came to Him. Everyone. And see, when I talked about the disciples a while ago, why weren't the disciples sick? See, you can't find anything in the Gospels where the disciple, old Peter got sick and we had to lay hands on him and fast for 3 days to get him healed. Why didn't he ever get sick? See, now, I've studied the Bible for years. That came to me earlier this week as a brand new revelation. Why weren't the disciples ever sick? Well, I'll tell you one reason they weren't sick is they were around the holiness of God in Jesus, and that same life force lives in us.
Well, and it removes the anointing, removes the burdens, and destroys the yoke. So,
and when you realize that the Word says, as He is, so are we in the world. As the Father sent Jesus, He sends us. Now, what in the world does that tell you? See, do we ever have a day recorded when Jesus was not only the Son of God, but He was also in the body called, that part of Him would be Son of Man. Why wasn't Jesus ever sick? See, and if He says, as He is, so are we in the world, that's what the Bible says. And Jesus Christ came for this purpose, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil. All right, then why would we live with the works of the devil and think we've got to compromise and put up with that?
That's right.
We don't have to. That's compromise, folks. That's living with sin in our bodies. In fact, 1 Peter 2:24 says, we must die to sin and live to righteousness, that by His stripes we'll be healed. See, there's a real connection here between sin and sickness. Mm-hmm. Once we get that straight and we decide we're going to live above that, we're going to live a righteous life, we will enjoy divine health.
That's right. In Isaiah 58, Darren, the wonderful chapter on fasting, and that's a spiritual fasting as well, it says, if you remove the yoke from your midst. Now, some of you have yokes, and that's exactly what Darren was talking about. You have sins, you have sickness, you have avenues in which the devil has come and pounded on you. But it says in Isaiah 58, and a lot of this needs to be done through fasting. I really believe that. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, hey, fess up to the truth, get to the bottom line. We have a tape called Getting to the Root of Your Problem. And don't get into denial, but get to that root. Fess up. Ask God for a spirit of truth on your family. You will be like a watered garden and a spring of water, a repairer of the breaches, a restorer. Wow, don't we want to restore? Absolutely. But somehow we forget that there's a yoke that's keeping our family bound or keeping us bound. It's keeping us from being free in the Lord Jesus.
You know, many people, Barbara, respond to these challenges with reason. Folks, let me just cut to the chase here. Get rid of reason and start speaking the Word of God, because it'll be health to your bones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll give life to your body, health
yes.
to your bones. Now, that sounds so simple, but take that set of scripture cards we put out called a power pack and go over to the health issues and begin to speak those health scriptures out there. You know, by his stripes I am healed. And you begin to say that. I have a friend that got a brand new kidney just by saying that one scripture. She was ignorant as could be when it came to spiritual
That's
reality.
Right. Never been to church, had she,
but
really?
But she found that one scripture in the Bible, and she and a neighbor said that over and over and over and over and over, and God did a mighty creative miracle on that one verse. Folks, I want to tell you, yes, you ought to know a lot of scripture, but every scripture has all the power of God in that one scripture.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, this one over here is just a 1% of God or just a tiny bit of God. No, get the Word of God. Begin to speak it. Now, he watches over his Word to perform it. See, when you know that it's alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, you begin to speak that Word out, guess what? You're going to have healing. You're going to walk in that healing. It's going to be good for you, and you're going to enjoy life and a quality of life that so few people have, but it's available.
That's right. And so many say, where do I start? And so many times, Darren and I recommend starting in the Psalms and then the Proverbs. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Proverbs is in Proverbs 3, chapter 3. And we're talking about wisdom here. And for fathers and mothers, I would ask you to ask for the spirit of wisdom. Ask for the spirit of understanding. Ask for the spirit of counsel and might that's found in Isaiah 11:2. Here in Proverbs 3:2, it says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. God wants you to live such a full, rich life. He says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That's reasoning. And it will be health to your body and refreshment to your bones. Darren, I want our friends to experience this, really experience this.
Well, let's do some confessions here.
Okay.
Now, this is something we're going to do, we plan to do. So I'm going to say it and Barbara will follow me, but I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
That I am complete in Jesus Christ.
That I'm complete in Jesus Christ.
In whom the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
In whom the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
Now you'll find that in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
That I have power within me.
I have power within me.
Because the Word says.
Because the Word says.
Now unto him who is able.
Now unto him who is able.
To do beyond all we ask or think.
To do beyond all we ask or think.
According to the power that is within us.
According to the power that is within us.
We have the power.
We have the power.
We have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ.
Jesus is made unto me wisdom.
Jesus is made unto me wisdom.
Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Where's that found?
That's found in 1 Corinthians 1:30.
Oh, praise God.
And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
1 Corinthians 2:12 says.
2:12. 2:16.
1 Corinthians 2:12 says. Just say that after me, Barbara.
Okay. First Corinthians 2:12 says,
I've not given you the spirit of the world.
I have not given you the spirit of the world.
But the spirit that is from God.
But the spirit that is from God.
That you might freely know.
That you might freely know.
Those things given to you by God.
Those things given to you by God.
Thank you, Jesus,
hallelujah.
For the Word.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Word.
The Word is nigh me.
The Word is nigh me.
It's in my mouth.
It's in my mouth.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
It is the Word of faith.
It is the Word of faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the Word of faith.
For the Word of faith. And it also says, Darren, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So, praise God.
A merry heart does. Well, I'll tell you, you can learn to do affirmations, folks. And I'll tell you, as you affirm the Word, as you confess the Word will become real to you. And you see, in Jeremiah 1:12, it says that God watches over His Word to perform it. See, He is jealous of His Word. It has never failed. We gave you that in Proverbs 30, verse 5. It's been tested and tried. It's true. You know, it's not going to fail you. You need to know that. It's not going to fail you.
That's right.
Father God, we just lift up this teaching in the powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we can not only have divine healing, we can walk in divine health. We declare that God is totally good, Satan is totally bad, that disease and sickness and maladies and all of those things come from the devil. But Father God, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We're going to go with that. And the Word says, as He is, so are we in the world. We're also going to go with that. So, Father God, as we approach the Word, as we address the Word, we declare that it is the living, active Word of God, that it never fails. We thank you, Father, that it never goes out without performing that what it's sent out to perform.
Oh,
and we praise
God.
You, Lord, that you're so wonderful to us and that we can live above those those things that torment so many of our friends. And we're not going to walk in sickness anymore. We're going to walk in divine health. Amen.
Amen. And we leave you with this prayer from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And also, I just want to leave this one prayer from Isaiah 40. It is so good. And if you're feeling weak today in any way, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, that's in the physical now, that yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh, Darren and I desire that so much for you. God bless you, and we just wish you the very best in spirit, body, and mind today. In Jesus' name.